Today, we are talking about death. Did you know that 128 deaths or so happen every single minute, which means every second around two people die? Greg, how does that make you feel?
I honestly feel like those numbers feel low, but then I'm like, we're talking about death, the ultimate end. So, you know, the stakes are high,
and that's
my friends.
Every minute. Like, if you multiply that to days, it's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's hundreds of thousands of people dying a day.
Are you afraid of death?
Oh, yeah, you're really looking at me deep into my soul.
Because I know the answer is
yes. Whoever's not is lying. Okay? Like, there's just no way that you're not afraid of it.
But I feel we have a different fear. Like, you seem to be afraid of, like, what comes after.
Yeah.
I'm, like, afraid of dying. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, both over here. Both over here. I feel like, yeah, they're both scary.
When we started dating, I remember we couldn't talk about death. It would send you into an existential crisis.
Yeah, and I think people who don't have existential crises when talking about death are truly just not living life to the fullest. Welcome to Netflix's Know It All. I'm Greg Brown.
And I'm Mitch Moffitt. You might know us from YouTube or TikTok. We're the ASAP Science Guys and your hosts.
And today we are talking about death. What happens when you die?
You know what would be scarier, though? What happens if you never die?
Is that scarier? Do I want that? This week we watched Wednesday on Netflix. It's a reimagining of the Addams Family, but this show is based on Wednesday Addams growing up and going to school.
Nevermore was created as a safe haven for our children to learn and to grow, no matter who or what they are.
Should we meet your new roommate?
Are you feeling okay? You look a little pale.
Please excuse Wednesday. She's allergic to color.
Oh, wow. What happens to you?
I break out into hives and then the flesh peels off my bones.
Here's the thing I love about the show. At the beginning, you think the Addams Family is weird. They're into death, gory stuff, monsters, severed limbs. But after you watch a couple episodes, I was like, maybe we're the weird ones? Like, why don't we talk about all this stuff? Maybe the Addams Family is healthier about death.
I haven't always been against birthdays. Each one reminds me I'm a year closer to death's cold embrace. What's not to like about that?
But I think one thing we're all curious about is what happens when we die. Like, literally, what happens to our bodies? So I've been doing my research and read a few stories about how a rotting human corpse is actually the cornerstone of a vast and complex ecosystem. So that ecosystem actually starts emerging soon after the death of the person, and then it evolves as decomposition begins. Even when we're dying, there is like tons of life that starts to happen, which is kind of beautiful, I guess, in some ways.
It's actually the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
So etched on the wall inside Crackstone's crypt.
Don't tell me you've been out there digging up more bodies.
There's a connection there. I know it.
So decomposition begins several minutes after death with a process called autolysis or self-digestion. The quickest reaction occurs in the brain, where the cells of your brain die after 3 to 5 minutes. The heart can continue to sort of beat blood for up to half an hour, which is wild. As soon as the blood, though, stops circulating, it sinks and forms quote-unquote death spots. That's why you see dead bodies that look like discolored or purplish, whatever, you know, from the movies or something.
I'm claustrophobic.
If you hear me screaming bloody murder, there's a good chance I'm just enjoying myself.
Oh yeah, that brings up one thing I love to talk about, rigor mortis. Basically, after 2 hours, your muscles lose their energy source, adenosine triphosphate or ATP, since your body isn't, you know, making any more of it. Without it, though, the muscles become stiff, first in your face, then down into the rest of your body.
According to one estimate, every kilogram of dry body mass eventually releases 32 grams of nitrogen, 10 grams of phosphorus, 4 grams of potassium, and 1 gram of magnesium into the soil if that's where the body is decomposing.
For our fellow Americans, I actually don't know the conversion offhand on that. Get on the metric system, why don't you?
And in total, the decomposition process of thine human body takes about 30 years.
That's like as long as I've been alive, basically.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a comforting fact or not.
If 5 more minutes. I was just getting comfortable.
Here's a fun stat. Biologically, the human body functions for a maximum of 120 years as we know it with today's modern science.
Oh, me fingers crossed I make it to 120. So you might have heard that after you die, your fingernails and hair continue to grow, but it's actually because your body starts to get dehydrated. And as the skin desiccates, it like pulls away from the fingernails and it retracts around the face, which kind of makes your fingernails look longer. And like a dead man's 5 o'clock shadow might start to show up on their chin. So the hair and nails aren't actually growing. They just appear that way because the person's so dehydrated. Interestingly, post-mortem hair and fingernail growth provoked lore about like vampires and creatures of the night and the undead. Because when our ancestors dug up fresh corpses and found that maybe, oh, it looked like their hair had grown, or blood spots had appeared around their mouths, which was like natural blood pooling, in their minds, they were like, wait a second, is this person dead or alive?
You can't wake the dead. Believe me, I've tried.
I believe your ancestor, Goody Adams, would disagree.
So that was what happens to thine body whilst dead, but what happens in the brain?
That's actually a little tougher since, as you know, dead people can't do this thing called responding to studies, but I have found some interesting things. So according to a Gallup poll, about 8 million Americans claim to have had a near-death experience. Andrew Newberg is a neuroscientist and professor who studies brain scans to try and understand what's happening during a near-death experience, and he thinks they all have a scientific reason for happening. As your eyesight fades, you lose the peripheral areas first. He points out that's why you'd have a tunnel sensation. If we see a bright light, that could be the central part of the visual system shutting down last. It's possible, Newberg asserts, though not at all certain, that visions of heaven are merely chemical and neurological events that occur during death.
I don't believe in heaven or hell, but I do believe in revenge. I usually serve it warm with the sight of pain, but I've never faced an adversary cast in bronze.
I thought this was interesting too. The brain seems to release protective chemicals that also happen to trigger intense hallucinations. In fact, scientists interviewed people who had used the hallucinogenic drug ketamine and found their experiences were similar to near-death experiences, like a sense of moving through a tunnel, an out-of-body feeling, spiritual awe, visual hallucinations.
Okay, so your brain is maybe basically tripping out to help you get through death. That is pretty cool.
Like, maybe, yeah.
Visions are about as predictable as shark attacks.
Now, I feel like, especially in North America, we don't talk about death that often. Now, that's not true everywhere here, but it feels like some cultures and countries handle it a lot more openly, and we could do a better job realizing it's going to happen to all of us.
I mean, Mexico's a part of North America, and at least they have, like, the Day of the Dead.
Oh, true.
I feel like our Halloween, we're just like, dress up as a pumpkin, don't talk about anything. I'm glad you brought that up, though, because according to a study done in Israel, our brains do their best to keep us from dwelling on our inevitable demise. A study found that the brain shields us from existential fear by categorizing death as an unfortunate event that only happens to other people. One of the authors in the study quotes, "The brain does not accept that death is related to us. We have this primal mechanism that means when the brain gets information that links self to death, something tells us it's not reliable information, so we shouldn't believe it. We obviously can't rationally deny that we will die, but we think of it more as something that, again, happens to other people."
It makes sense to me. Like, as much as I do like to talk about and think about death, ultimately, I feel I'm going to live forever.
but you're also good at keeping yourself out of dangerous situations. Like, you're aware of maybe, like, dying when we're in situations. Like, you're very careful. You don't do dangerous things. Whereas sometimes I'm like, oh, I almost just died because I did something dumb.
To be fair, I just hate pain. But I'm sure that is an evolutionary response to not die.
I do love to talk about death, though. I hate small talk. And I think talking about death is how you cut right through that. I like when people are de-tatted down to talk about death.
But the minute I inch towards the truth, luckily, I'm not afraid of the dark.
One thing I was wondering about was how our attitudes towards death might have changed over time. Like, people used to die a lot more frequently and younger. So maybe they were more willing to grapple with it, knowing it wasn't that far away. The average world lifespan in 1900 was 32, and the average world lifespan in 2020, around 72. Now, that 1900 stat can be attributed to infant mortality, but ultimately we would have been surrounded by death much more frequently. But our life expectancy has continued to expand. In Germany, for example, life expectancy increases by around 3 months every year, but obviously that can't go on forever.
I know, thinking about vaccines, nutrition, better healthcare, safety measures, our lives just feel like they've gotten more safe, and maybe that's disconnected us from talking and experiencing like death.
Safer, but not necessarily less expensive. The average funeral in the United States is over $7,000. What's scary to talk about with your family, death or money?
That's insane.
I enjoy funerals. I've been crashing them since I was old enough to read the obituary section.
One thing I find so interesting about death and why I love to talk about it with people all the time is I think I'm searching for someone having the same idea and experience of what I think death will be, but no one ever will. And I think that's what makes it the most fascinating topic of our lifetime, because it's so unknown and I don't think we're ever gonna agree with someone else deeply about what it means to die.
Yeah, and even from a scientific perspective, as much as we can understand what physically happens to your body when you die, I have a hard time thinking that science will ever truly have an answer to what happens after you die, which I think for most people is the bigger question.
All we know from science is that after you die, the microbes in your gut will eat you from the inside out.
Cute.
One little factoid before we go. Did you know that Neanderthals, Homo neanderthalensis, were found to put flowers and like flower crowns and little jewelry that they made at the corpses of dead people, like seemingly having almost like funeral traditions?
Oh, it's your heritage. Don't you have like a lot of Neanderthal in you when you did a DNA test?
Yeah, that's why I'm doing propaganda. That's like Neanderthals were cool too, because like I truly am one.
So there you have it. Death. What happens to your body, what happens to your brain, and why we don't talk about it. That's it for this week's Know It All. I'm Mitch Moffitt.
And I'm Greg Brown.